How does narcissistic abuse affect our ability to communicate with the narcissist and with other people in our lives? That's what we're talking about today at queenbeing.com. Let's get started. My name's Angie Atkinson, and on this channel, I offer free daily video coaching to help you discover, understand, and overcome narcissistic abuse in toxic relationships. I like to call it toxic relationship rehab. If that sounds good to you, would you hit that subscribe button? And we'll get going. So one of our fellow survivors named Kayla has asked me to make this video. So here I am. Communication, as we all know, is incredibly important in any relationship, but when we've been involved with a narcissist, even the most skilled communicators among us can find ourselves feeling helpless and handicapped when it comes to being understood. Narcissists will inevitably refuse to understand us, especially when we're not saying something like, "Oh my God, you're so amazing," right? For example, if you've ever tried to tell a narcissist exactly how you feel about the way they've belittled you or invalidated you, you saw how they twisted the conversation and bent the words around, and in some of the most extreme cases, you may have found yourself apologizing for not thinking that the narcissist is perfect or for having the nerve to even suggest otherwise. Now, when we go through years of this, not to mention that narcissists often isolate their victims from other people who might actually offer some support to them in that process, we sort of forget how to communicate in a way. We stop feeling like we can or even should talk about ourselves. We stop trying to make a valuable contribution to a conversation because, in part, we've been conditioned to believe that we have nothing of value to say and nothing of value to offer. We believe that we're not good enough and that no one wants to hear what we have to say anyway. And when we do speak up, we tend to keep it short and to the point when it relates to ourselves especially and or to the opinions or beliefs of other people. There was a time in my life when if you asked me a question about myself, I might not even have an answer for you. I might not know what to say, or even if I did, I would feel awkward saying it, so I would keep it as quick as I could just to get the attention off me as soon as possible, because I was taught that having attention on me was bad. Now I understand that that meant also just taking attention away from the narcissist. This was bad though, because I had been conditioned to think that nothing about me was interesting or even worth hearing about. So when we go through narcissistic abuse, we might find ourselves dealing with depression. We might also develop other issues like various compulsive behaviors, an eating disorder, substance abuse problem, because sometimes we sort of try to self-medicate in order to deal with our issues. You know what I'm talking about? We could even have flashbacks or panic attacks, and we will most definitely deal with a certain amount of self-doubt, sometimes persistent self-doubt. Some of us experience suicidal thoughts. Some of us, in the worst cases, we find ourselves looking for or even carrying out abuse. Now, this has not thankfully been something that I've done, but I've certainly found myself looking for it in life, and that's how I ended up with my first husband. All right. The point is, whatever you experience as a child, you may, if you're unhealthy, you may go and seek that again, whether you're doing it or you're getting it done to you. It's a subconscious thing, and I don't want to say that I thought to myself, "Ooh, I'm going to go find a new abuser." Of course, I didn't think that. But what I thought was, I want to find someone to love me. And then I felt, I want to say, desperate up to a point, and desperate enough to look, to overlook things that were blatant red flags to me. And of course, I was 21 when I did this, and so I like to make that as an excuse, but the fact is I was just very unhealthy emotionally and otherwise. On the flip side of that whole deal though, you might go so far in the other direction as to be a different kind of unhealthy when you become an adult. For example, an abused child who grows up to become a doormat parent. If you were constantly controlled as a child and you were under your parents' thumb for every single thing, you may grow up to allow your children to do whatever the hell they want. They end up running your house, running the show, being spoiled brats, and then not always ending up successful in life because you weren't able to provide boundaries for them. It's a fine line, right? But let's get back to communication. That's what this video is about. There are certain issues that can directly affect our ability to communicate after we go through traumatic narcissistic abuse. So as always, I'm going to tell you that I believe knowledge is power. And the first step to power is to realize what you're dealing with. It's to realize that, hey, there's a problem here with this issue in my life. You've got to discover that problem, and then you've got to begin to deal with it, begin to understand it if you're going to start to heal from it and overcome it. So after abuse, the issues that might affect your ability to communicate are multifaceted. The first one I'd like to outline here is our heightened reactions to various common relationship issues after we've gone through abuse. We might become triggered over something really small, such as an innocently uttered comment of someone who's healthy in our lives even, that used to mean something awful to us. For example, one of my clients, her narcissist used to always say to her, "Who are you trying to impress?" And she never realized that that was a trigger phrase for her until later when she was in a healthy relationship and she put on some shoes that her current love was, you know, obviously they were too big for her feet, but she was just gonna run down to the mailbox or something and put on these shoes, and he joked, "Who are you trying to impress?" And she just lost it. She felt really triggered by that. And she said for a moment she was sort of reverting to her former self, the abused self. This leads me to my next point, actually: emotionally fueled disagreements. When we are going through healing, we don't always know how to deal with conflict. We want to avoid it if we can, but when it comes up, we may become overly emotional about it, even if it's something small. We don't mean to. Well, going back to the client that I mentioned, in that situation, her trigger led her to an emotionally fueled disagreement or discussion in her case, because her new guy happens to be really healthy, which is awesome for her. He actually calmed her down in that situation rather than making it worse, because he took the time to validate her and he reminded her, hey, it's okay to have emotions, and kind of comforted her and reminded her that here she was now, she wasn't still back there. And he heard her, he listened to her. Imagine that kind of validation. You deserve that, my friend, you deserve that. Let me just remind you one more time, you deserve that. We might also find ourselves withdrawing and becoming unresponsive to various people in our lives when we are triggered by these old issues. This obviously affects our ability to communicate with people, and we almost always feel a certain amount of aversion to conflict, no matter what. As I just said before, conflict is a big problem for us. You know, we like to call ourselves people pleasers. Well, the fact of the matter is, conflict is hard to deal with, and for us, it's almost paralyzing sometimes, right? It can lead us to an inability to talk about our issues or talk through our issues in other relationships. And this is especially true if we feel judged by the person or if we feel like we're communicating with someone who's not on our side. Does that make sense? We might always have a lingering doubt about how our partners in the future feel about us in romantic relationships if we decide to get into one again. And sometimes we'll find ourselves doubting their faithfulness, especially when our previous narcissistic relationships included a romantic partner, but not always. Sometimes even in a healthy relationship, when you've come out of a childhood of being abused by a narcissist, you may still doubt your healthy partner. And depending on how healthy your partner is, it may take time for you to get to that place where you can trust them fully. This is why I recommend taking at least a year off between relationships in order to heal if that does happen to you. Thanks to the fact that many of us never felt loved unconditionally, we often find ourselves having difficulty accepting any love at all. We are suspicious of people who try to offer it to us, and we often need repeated reassurance of the fact that someone cares about us. This, of course, can push us away and push people away from us, and even isolate us further, unfortunately, which makes communication harder than ever. When you're isolated, who are you gonna talk to anyway, right? So how can we get over this? And what can we do to improve our ability to communicate after abuse? Well, the first thing you have to do is you have to let go of that fear. Here are some tips to help you become a better conversationalist. Number one, the first impression. A lot of people make conclusions about you based on the way you look before you even open your mouth. So if you want to convey the message that you're friendly, that you're confident, look people in the eyes, smile at them. be friendly to people in conversation. Be friendly to people that you see around the world. This will give you a big advantage already in conversation. So people will naturally want to engage with you and will want to listen to what you have to say. Okay, so stand or sit up straight, put your best confident smile on, and look them right in the eye. Number two, you want to pay attention to people. So everybody wants to matter, right? You want it to matter. I want to matter. Everybody wants to matter. By giving the person you're speaking to your full and undivided attention, you can accomplish that with ease. Don't look at your watch. Don't look at your phone. Don't look around the room. Keep your attention on that other person. Avoid worrying. This is number three. Avoid worrying about what you're going to say next. That's a hard one sometimes. This could easily fall back under number two, right? But this kind of deserves special attention, and here's why. If you're someone who is seen as socially awkward after going through this abuse, it's because you're worried about what you're gonna say next sometimes. If you're not listening to the other person because you're so concerned about saying what you're supposed to say, you might become fidgety, your eye contact might waver, you find yourself being anxious. And here's the thing, my friend, a lot of people will see it and it will be obvious. And here's the worst part of that, is that if it's a narcissist, they're going to like it. And they're going to just try to suck you in because they know they can manipulate you if you feel that way or control you. If you can stay in the moment and just let the conversation flow naturally, it will make people around you more comfortable. People become uncomfortable when you're uncomfortable. So just listen and understand that the other person is probably going to give you plenty of material, especially in a healthy situation, to move the conversation forward. Don't let yourself not hear what the other person's saying so that you can think about what you're going to say next. I'm not trying to pull any triggers here, but that's kind of a narcissistic type behavior anyway, so you may not have that problem. Number four, you want to turn the spotlight on the other person. So if you're finding yourself not communicating well with someone in a social situation or even a private situation, give the other person the spotlight for a moment, because the truth is, successful conversationalists will start on the other side. People love it when you show an interest in them. They love it when you say their name. Keep turning the conversation toward the other person. You will become more comfortable with the conversation. Try to keep it positive if you can, of course, but if you don't know what to say, ask them a question about themselves. Ask about their interests, their opinions. You'll find that people will love talking to you when you can do that. Number five, if you're running out of things to say, repeat the last few words of your conversation to your partner. So what does that mean? Well, if they say something to you about having gone to the Great Barrier Reef and done scuba diving, for example, you might just be like, so how was the Great Barrier Reef with the scuba diving? What was that all about? Or so you went and did this, huh? You know, just give them a little hook to bring them back into the conversation. People love to talk about their experiences and themselves. Well, some people. You're gonna learn how to do that too. Number six, this is the fun part. Always have something interesting to say. So how am I gonna tell you that when I just told you not to worry about what you're thinking, you know, not to think about what you're talking about, right? Well, you're gonna have to contribute something interesting to the conversation on occasion. And I'm sure you're an interesting enough person to do that, right? Just to be safe, as you're relearning to communicate, think ahead, be prepared, my friend. Get sort of your scout on, right? You wouldn't blindly reach into a dark closet and wear the first thing your hand touched, right? So there's no reason to blurt out the first thing that comes to mind sometimes. So be prepared. You know, hey, try watching the news before you head out the door to make sure you know what's going on in the world. I suggest have a story or two prepared. Make sure they're funny stories that you can tell without thinking. You know, maybe the time you and your best friend and, you know, high school, like, ran naked through the football field or something. I don't know, streaking or whatever. Doesn't matter what it is. Think of a funny story that will be relatable to people in the situation you're going to be dealing with. And keep it in the back of your mind, in your back pocket, just in case you need it. A joke is always a good thing when it's appropriate to tell it, or, you know, little factoids, things like that, right? Number seven, expect success. So your expectations and your results are going to match more often than not. I always say it, you think about what to bring about, right? Expect the best. Expect to have a great conversation. Believe that you're a great conversationalist. Know that you are, and that maybe the narcissist dampened that for a while, but know that you can do this. Anybody can do it. And I think when it comes to empaths, which I think a lot of my viewers happen to be empaths, am I wrong? Then you have the ability to be a great conversationalist. You already know how to do this. You just need to remind yourself. So visualize your conversational success. Number eight, give a sincere compliment. Avoid making a direct compliment like, oh my God, you're so hot, right? Unless it's appropriate to do so. But you could just be like, hey, I really like your hair, or Those are really cute boots. Where'd you get those? Or whatever. You know what I'm saying? If you tell someone, oh my gosh, you're the most beautiful person I've ever seen in my whole entire life, and you just met them, that's a little weird, right? You could say something like, wow, you clearly work out. You know, what kind of exercise do? You look great. that might be more appropriate than, oh my God, you're so hot, right? Just remember, a single sincere compliment will often open the door to a really great conversation. Skills are learnable. You don't have to be born an extrovert to be an effective conversation partner. Introverts can actually make the best conversation partners in some cases. But it doesn't matter whether you're introverted or extroverted. What matters is that when you've gone through the abuse, there are things you can do to make conversation easier in social situations, and I've outlined some of those for you. And there are ways you can learn or relearn the skills that you need to get in there and talk to people. Once you learn how to get in there and talk to people, it all goes from there. You'll begin to change the whole outlook on life, and you can become the sort of person that you really are, the person who you want to be. Whether you believe it or not, when I say this, I really know for sure that every single one of us has the ability to create the life that we truly want. One way that you can do that is by working on your communication skills, and in the process, on your own self-confidence. That's what it all comes down to, my friend. Loving yourself enough, loving yourself unconditionally, and knowing that anything you say is okay as long as you are respectful and genuine with other people in your life. Open yourself to new communication when you're ready. Take your time, don't push it. Take the time to do that. All right, now it's time for the question of the day. The question of the day is, have you struggled with communication since your narcissistic abuse or because of your narcissistic abuse? And if so, what ways have you struggled? I'm interested in knowing and how else I can help you with this issue. If you have additional questions or needs in this area, I would be happy to dig into those for you in a future video. So leave your thoughts and your comments and your experiences below, and let's talk about it. I love a good conversation. All right, we'll see you soon. Thanks so much for being a part of my day and a part of my life. And hey, thanks for letting me be a part of yours. It really does mean a lot to me. It's my mission to teach others what I know to be true. You really can create the life you want. Take care of your body. Take care of your soul. Nurture the real you and introduce him or her to the world. Be comfortable in your own skin and in your place in this world. Take your spot. Take it now. And the universe will take its cue from you. You feel me? If so, subscribe to my channel. Let's get it done together.